This episode of The Line is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
Welcome to The Line, a new podcast on the Trek FM network dedicated to talking about Star Trek Picard. I'm Justin Ozer, and join with me today are my amazing co-hosts, Brandon Shematala and Chrissy Zalagi. Brandon, how are you doing today?
I am doing absolutely fantastic. I'm so excited. I can't believe that we are talking about the new Captain Picard show that's coming to CBS All Access, to Crave TV in Canada, and Amazon Prime all over the rest of the world. So I'm pretty stoked about this. I got a huge smile on my face right now. I'm pretty stoked because it's Picard.
Yeah, I totally agree. Super excited for the show and talking about it on this podcast. So Chrissy, how are you doing today?
I am also very excited about this and have a huge smile on my face as well. I grew up on Next Gen, and the idea of having more Picard on the air is just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So let's actually start out by talking a little bit more to give an introduction to our listeners for ourselves and our history with Star Trek. I'll just start off a little bit so listeners might know me from Earl Grey, which is our dedicated Next Generation podcast on Trek FM. I live in El Paso, Texas, and I have pretty much been a big Star Trek fan actually since Star Trek 2009, even though I saw some other Star Trek stuff before that, but my fandom has just kind of grown and grown over the last 10 years, and I've seen everything in Star Trek and just so excited for a new series. So, Chrissy, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh, all right. Well, I am coming to you from Michigan, and I don't remember a time in my life when Star Trek wasn't a part of it. I was 5 when TNG started, and before that, of course, my parents would have the reruns of the original series on. And I don't remember much about being 5, but I do have a very distinct recollection of watching Encounter at Farpoint with my parents on a big console Sony Trinitron. I think it was a 22-inch, and that was a big TV at the time. The local station showed the new episodes of TNG on Saturdays at 7, and then they'd have original series on at 6, so once that was established, my mother would time dinner on Saturday nights around that. And we would sit at the table, and we had a little TV on the table. It was like one of those little 10-inch jobs, and our cat would sit on top of it, and we would all watch Star Trek and eat dinner. And then I spent a lot of my childhood and adolescence reading Star Trek novels, into adulthood, really. So Star Trek's always been a big part of my life.
All right, fantastic. So Brandon, tell our listeners about yourself.
Yeah, so similar to Chrissy there, yeah, I watched Encounter at Farpoint when it first aired. I remember my mom sat us down and said, we got to watch this. It was like an important event because Star Trek was coming back. We never continued watching it. Like, my mom was not much of a Star Trek fan. But I do remember that we watched the first couple of episodes. I didn't discover Star Trek until my teenage years. I was sick at home one day, and the Shore Leave episode of the original series was on TV, and I watched that, and I was pretty much instantly hooked. And I started watching that. I can't remember quite what age I was. But I think even before that, though, I remember it was the summer hiatus, and it must have been in season 4, the summer hiatus, because I remember seeing an ad on TV when I was visiting my dad out in Vancouver, and the trailer for Identity Crisis came on. And I'm like, this looks really cool. So I made a point to sit down and watch that episode. It still didn't quite hook me. But Shore Leave, probably a few months after that is when I really got hooked with Star Trek. And, you know, that was at that time, you know, not quite remembering what year it was, 1992, the December of 92 is when I really got into my Star Trek fandom and started watching episodes live in season six of Next Generation. And the wave just went from there. I mean, Deep Space Nine came and then the movies and then Voyager, and it just didn't stop for 13 years. It was pretty crazy. So it was a nice, long, wild ride.
All right. Fantastic. So we're recording this episode in late May of 2019, so there's still a lot to find out about the new Picard series. We'll be bringing you some great content and announcements in the run-up to the airing of the show, and we'll then bring you an episode each week shortly after each new Picard episode drops. So we're really excited to be talking with you about the new series, which has generated so much excitement.
That script that I read that Hanalei Culpepper sent me was really good. I mean, this is going to be a great episode.
Yeah, Brandon's got the inside track. He's going to tell us every week what the next week's episode is going to be about and spoil it for everybody.
I'm going to spoil it. So I can't believe that Nella Darren and Picard got married. No, I'm just kidding.
Stop. That's my dream. But not a lot of listeners' dreams, probably. Anyway.
I did not read a script. I'm just lying. I did not read a script from Hanalei Culpepper. I am lying. So,
well, today we wanted to focus the discussion on the character of Jean-Luc Picard. So he's been a captain, a diplomat, an explorer, an archaeologist, and also an inspiration for millions of fans since we first saw him in an encounter at Farpoint in September of 87. So we think it's a great way to prepare for a new chapter in Jean-Luc Picard's story to start by looking back at what we consider to be the most important moments for his character that we've seen so far. So we've put together three picks, a couple of or maybe more honorable mentions, we'll see, for the most important Picard moments. Now, what I wanted to start out with, along with your first pick, is the kind of how you looked at this, the criteria that you had, how you were thinking about it, because there are so many important Picard moments, I think, across the 176 episodes, the four movies. So Chrissy, how did you go about this process?
Yeah, thanks. I sat down and started thinking about all of the different elements that come with Captain Picard, okay? All of the different elements in his life. And being an historian, I started looking at the ones that really tended to focus on history and his interest in history and his interest in archaeology. And I really feel that his historical knowledge gives him the ability to see events in a different context than other people do. And I think that also gives him a different insight into current events. So in trying to pick out ones that were not necessarily the top 10 of everybody's list, I ended up looking at ones that were a bit on the historical side. I've chosen are ones in which his historical insight was crucial to the resolution of the episode's events.
So kind of ones that are important to you and what you do, which is great. No, it's great. I mean, that's what I was interested to find out, because we'll have different perspectives. I'm sure there'll be some where listeners will be like, why didn't you pick this one? But, you know, this is just what we personally think. So since you have that lens on it, tell us about your first pick.
Okay. My first pick is the way he analyzed the artifacts and masks. Okay. Because I don't know where all of the other anthropologists and sociologists and, you know, all that were on the ship, but if he hadn't understood the symbolic nature of what was going on there, and that Masaka was the sun and Korgon was the moon, then we could have ended up with a Masaka and that library probe thing completely destroying the ship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's very interesting. You pick one from Masks, which doesn't tend to be a well-regarded episode. I personally really like it. We spent an entire Earl Grey episode talking about it. Yeah, I think that's great. What do you think, Brendan?
I think Mask is a fantastic episode, and fandom is bonkers for not liking that thing, because Data's amazing. Brent Spiner is amazing in that episode, and it's really fun and creative. I love it. I think that's a really interesting take, because it, you know, his archaeology is so important to him, and it is a huge factor of who this character is. You know, mm-hmm. I really hope that we get some references to his archaeology throughout the new show. That is who he is. That's his major hobby.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that is what he loves to do. You know, like that one episode, I didn't have it on my list here. But I think it's, the one where they go to get the DNA and it turns out to be the shapeshifter woman.
The Chase.
Thank you. And he's geeking out over that little thing, right?
Yeah, like, the smile on his face when he looks at it, he's like, ah, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, that's like me and my Star Trek toys. I'm like, oh, look at this thing. The lights go blinky and it's all fun. And yeah, like totally, can totally understand it. It was a great choice.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in his archaeology, it does kind of thread through a lot of what we see in the series, especially. And we'll see if we get references to that. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Brandon, tell us how you went about this process in picking out important Picard moments.
So for me, the important Picard moments that I chose were what I'm hoping to get out of this show. Like, I'm really hoping to get an emotional drama-based show mm-hmm. with a lot of discussion, a lot of in-depth feelings. Forgive me. That's what I want. You know, I'm really excited based on what we've seen in the trailer so far. I'm excited to see this journey that this man has come on and how he left Starfleet and how he's come back. And I think that this is going to be a reflective story. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking forward to that. So I'm looking forward to these human moments and these moments of major human impact on a character. And so for my first choice, I'm going to go from the bottom of my list to my top of my list. So this is choice number three for me. Choice number three is when he's playing the music in the Jeffries tube with Nella Darren.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to put this one on the list because it encompasses so much of Picard, you know, and while a lot of people are looking at The Inner Light with new modern lenses, to me, it's still a very important episode for his character. And I love that we got an episode that kind of deals with that and sees it in here. And, you know, Picard is a private man. And I know a lot of people make the joke that he didn't really talk about the people on the planet after the fact, but we don't know that. I'm sure at some point he talked to Starfleet about them, right? And he gave the information, but he never really dealt with the emotional impact that these memories that were implanted to him had on him. And to be able to share that and share this music with Nella Darren is extremely important for the character of Picard. You know, he's never shared this with anybody up until this point. He is a very private man. He's made the choice to be a career man, and we're seeing those defenses come down in this episode. So I couldn't have the list without some sort of reference to how the Inner Light has affected him, and to me, the summation of it is when he's playing the music with Nell Darren in the Inner Light, because it's beautiful, and it sounds amazing, and I love that scene when LaForge is kind of like looking around, you know? He's like, do you hear that? It sounds like music, and then it cuts to them kissing, and I'm like, I don't know. I think it's great. I love it.
Oh, yeah. I love that episode, Lessons. I said before, I'm a fan of Picard and Darren. But, I mean, more than that, it's just that he does get to express this experience that he had that he says he hasn't really kind of personally shared with anyone else. He gets to play his music, which is something we don't very often see him do. And you do get to see him be happy and kind of open up, and it's fantastic. I feel like at various points in this podcast, I'm going to keep plugging Earl Grey, but we did talk about Lessons in an Earl Grey episode, so it's like fresh in my mind. But I do love that episode, everything that it means for him. I mean, in the teaser trailer that we saw, there was a little hint of the Resican flute music, so who knows? Maybe there'll be some references to that and what it means to him. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think he has so many of these things where we've seen him kind of live such a rich character experience. There's so much to draw from. And I think, yeah, what happens with him in Lessons and him kind of opening up a little bit there is really great. What do you think, Chrissy?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Much as I am a Picard Beverly Crusher shipper, I did appreciate the Nella Darren relationship. I thought that was nice to have him branch out a bit, and we'll just leave it there. Have him branch out a bit.
See, I don't know why it wasn't more of a thing, but I was totally a Picard Pulaski shipper.
Yeah, the first one that I've heard of, but
yeah,
that's cool.
That's very much the Sam and Diane. Let's argue and then make out. So,
well, I don't know. Pulaski was totally into him.
It's because of the history with Riker's father. That would have been weird.
Yeah.
All right. No, I think these are great picks, and it's really interesting to see the different perspectives that you guys have. So I think I was coming at it from a somewhat different perspective. Well, I mean, first, when I kind of took a look at this, I kind of scanned through the list of episodes and thought about the four movies, and There are lots of different moments you could consider important for Picard. I'm sure there will be a number of them that listeners will be like, well, why didn't you mention this one? This is really important. But the thing is, there's so many important moments for Picard throughout the show and throughout the movies. And the way that I was thinking about it is, you know, moments or episodes that have kind of things that you can look at for an influence or that may, you know, resonate out further to other episodes and other places. And actually, one of the first things that I thought of was the episode Sarek with the mind meld that Picard does with Sarek. And that happens toward the end of season 3. And it kind of made me think, I mean, that's a fantastic episode. I mean, Mark Leonard and Patrick Stewart are just amazing. And Patrick Stewart as Picard showing kind of this turmoil that Sarek has had to kind of give him so he can do this negotiation. But what I really focused in on is Picard has done a mind meld with Sarek and has kind of experienced Sarek's mind and I think some of his experiences. I mean, I think the most direct influence that you see is in Starship Mine that he can actually give a Vulcan nerve pinch. I don't know if he'd been able to do that without Sarek, but I think of it.
Oh, I love that. I never thought
you didn't
think
of it.
I never caught that
that's
either.
Great.
Every time I see it, I think like, how would he be able to do that unless he had Sarek's memories of it? But hey, that's cool.
He's Picard and he's awesome.
Yeah, he was just doing his Vulcan nerve pinch, you know, lessons out. But I, you know, some of these I'm just kind of making the connection, but I see it there. But I also see it for other things. So it's shortly after Sarek that you have the best of both worlds where he's assimilated by the Borg. Mm-hmm. And you see in Family after that, that he feels like he should have done more and he should have been stronger. And I almost think like for Picard, it is maybe even more of a disappointment because he had this experience with Sarek, which should have, you know, kind of strengthened him, but even that wasn't enough. So I think of it even in that context, but also like some of the things that he goes through, like in Chain of Command when he's being tortured and he kind of almost gives in, but doesn't quite. I feel like there's something in kind of the mental strength that he got from Sarek, but that's also inherent to his character, like the combination that helps him to kind of resist those things. So I also thought of it. I'm sorry this is going on for a while, but I've thought about this a lot today. But there's also something, you know, not only in, you know, Vulcan mental control, but we're told that Vulcans they have that kind of control because otherwise their emotions would be kind of really explosive, right? Mm-hmm. So I think of some of the things like in First Contact when he's so enraged by the Borg and he's on the holodeck and just kind of going crazy and seemingly going way too far. It almost feels like unleashing some of that turmoil or those extreme emotions. So anyway, that's how I thought about things. I don't know what you guys think about that, but Brandon?
I think that's an interesting choice to consider that as one of the most important things for him. But yeah, it could play ramifications later on, you know, so. But, you know, bringing that up with our current timeline of Star Trek and whatnot, I wonder mm-hmm. if that means that Picard knows about Michael Burnham.
I think you would have to assume so, although we don't know if in mind melds you get all the memories and everything that you can recall, but.
But if he's, like, completely got his emotional stability gone, like, yeah, definitely there's going to be some, like, ramifications and, like, thinking about the bad stuff in his life.
I mean, the other thing is he's not only mind-melded with Sarek, but with Spock as well. So he's got all of that mm-hmm. stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, he did in Unification Part 2. So
he's got a lot of totally. Vulcan stuff in his head.
Yeah. Picard's just, like, mushroom drive.
Okay, Chrissy?
The thing about Burnham is briefly mentioned in the Picard memoir that was released earlier this year. I know it's not canon because it's in print, but there is one line in that while he's experiencing the meld with Sarek that mentions Michael.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, and I don't know, like it's always struck me when I see Sarek that like, this is a big deal. You know, he's having this mind meld with this person who's like 200 years old and has tons of these experiences. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so those are our first picks. Let's see what we've got for second picks. So, Chrissy, what's your second pick?
I actually flip-flopped one of my honorable mentions for my second pick because when Brandon mentioned about the Resican flute, and the inner light, I started thinking about the fact that if someone who wasn't well-versed in history and putting together historical context and all of that had experienced this lifetime in this other culture, they might not come out of it with this, or I should say they definitely would come out of it with a different context than Picard did. And I think the fact that probe found someone who had that kind of mindset is very important for them. They could have never known that that's how it would have fallen out, but it ends up being very important because he knows how to put all the pieces together.
So you think that the probe has chosen him because it can sense that he might be the right person to experience it? I always thought it was almost like because he was the captain and seemed important and influential, but...
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that the probe sought out, you know, the ship's historian or something, but but that it just happened to be that the person that was hit with the probe's beam was somebody who could mm-hmm. understand that and would appreciate what they were experiencing in a different way.
Okay. So this is about Picard's importance and really helping to kind of understand and help preserve that culture.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also what it does for him, I think that increases his historical interest if he needed something to prompt him to increase it. But I think we see a little bit more of Picard the archaeologist and Picard the historian after that, like in The Chase, as was mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Maybe we should have like Star Trek archaeology. I think you'd dig that. Yes?
Yes. I'm afraid.
Triology?
Yeah, there we go. That sounds too much like astrology.
Starkeology.
I'm afraid I might end up being with history on these episodes the way Amy Nelson is with math. And it's not a bad thing, but I'm just putting the warning out there.
Yes.
Okay. So, Brendan, what do you think? I mean, we talked a little bit about it, but, you know, the inner light and how Picard's chosen and the impact on him and how it preserves the culture.
The Inner Light is the most important episode in the character of Jean-Luc Picard, and I have let you guys know that we will have an episode coming up where I'm going to convince you that Picard is absolutely 100% a family man, and his dream sequence in Generations is 100% spot on for that character's growth. And so I will save my thoughts on that one for a future episode.
I mean, you've already convinced me, so, you know.
Yeah, I have?
Well, I mean, prior to this conversation, but...
Oh, well, good. Then I'll convince the listeners. Okay.
Okay.
Well, good. Then I'll have you guys
sounds good.
That. But you, yes, but, absolutely. Okay, but I mean, I think for a lot of people, you know, they see The Inner Light as the best Next Generation episode. Others may not see it as much like that, but I think it is, you know, quite popular, gets very, you know, high ratings and marks, but you see it as the most important thing that happens to him up to this point?
Yeah, and okay. That is not the best episode of Next Generation, okay? That's no. Conspiracy.
Right, we have heard you on this. We can argue about that. I love the episode, but I don't think conspiracy is the best. The Royale. I love the Royale.
And the Royale's fun.
Well,
okay?
I love the Royale, but...
When Data's playing craps, that scene is the greatest, okay? When he's like, snapping his fingers, he's like, Dad, he needs a new pair of shoes. That's awesome, okay?
It is. Yes. All right. Okay, so for you, it's... I mean, that's interesting to think about what is the most important. I don't think I could even... give an opinion on that because I think there's lots of important things that kind of build up who he is and the influence. But mm-hmm. All right. So what's your second pick, Brendan?
Okay. So this is not only one of the most important things for having impact on Picard. This is important as having impact on me as a fan.
Okay.
So the first two episodes, like the first episode that I saw live, was Chain of Command Part 1. That's the first episode that I watched live and started watching Star Trek The Next Generation. And, you know, my mom sat down with me for the back half of Chain of Command Part 2. And while, you know, that the four lights thing is a joke that's gone around and, you know, it is very important and is a very important part of that episode. But for me, the most important part of that episode is when he sits down with Troy at the very end of the episode, the coda,
mm-hmm.
and he's talking to her and he's like, you know, at the end, I actually believed that there were five lights.
Yeah.
You know, and like my mom and I had a conversation after that, you know, about like the power of mind control and, you know, the power of brainwashing and things like that. And it, you know, up till then I'd seen a few episodes and it was this fun thing, And it was this episode that made me realize that there's more to Star Trek than just a fun show. There's a show that talks about important things, and there's a show that can take its issues and deal with them, deal with powerful issues head on and talk about them for the audience and leave a lasting impact with you once you've watched the episode. So I think this is very important for Picard, because that whole sequence of being a prisoner was important and had effect on him. But also being able to sit down and talk about it. He's not the kind of guy that's just going to, you know, stew on it. He's going to address it. He's going to deal with it. He's going to talk about it. He's going to work it out so that it doesn't, you know, affect him as much later on. Like, this is something that will always affect him, but he wants to address it. And so he speaks about it with Counselor Troy. And so that scene, I think, is a very important one for Picard's character as a leader.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it does strike me every time that I see that two-parter that they have that scene at the end. I mean, it could have ended differently. They could have had something different. But I do really like that, you know, you see Picard in his defiance. There are four lights. Yes, it's become like a joke. But when you're watching it, or when I'm watching it at least, it's no joke. I mean, it is really him kind of fighting back against this mind control and this person trying to have power over him. But then, yeah, the revelation that he says, I believed it, and I was kind of ready to admit to it, that he was kind of that close to cracking someone as kind of strong-willed as Picard. I mean, it really drives home the effect of mind control and torture. I mean, I think it's a very important episode. And I think for you, it sounds like it told you, like, this can say some important things. It's not just entertainment and fun, right?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and then, like, the Cardassians as well. I mean, like, I'm really hoping that we get to see some Cardassians in the show, you know, because I love the Cardassians. They're my favorite alien species in Star Trek. And, you know, that's part of why I love, what's his name? Is it Gull? Oh, I'm so bad with names. I'm sorry. Who's the guy that's torturing him? Massette?
No, that's Madred.
So. Madred. Oh, okay. Right. So yeah. Gull, Madred, you know, these are all great characters. I don't think there's a single Cardassian character that I don't like in all of Star Trek. They are all so amazing.
Yeah, I love the Cardassians as well. I mean, I think it was a great introduction in Next Generation, and they took it some super interesting places in Deep Space Nine, of course. So it would be really cool to see, you know, what's happened. I mean, we have gotten some things in the novels for where that's gone after basically, you know, hundreds of millions of people die on Cardassia Prime. But yeah, it would be super cool to to see them in a new show. Yeah.
It'd be nice if we saw Garrick.
Garrick.
He's supposed to be in charge of the Cardassians. Awesome.
According to the novels.
Listeners, we may reference the books a couple of times because all three of us read the books.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know if you've seen them before, Justin. I got all my novels here. I got novels behind me. So, fantastic. Yeah, we're big novel readers here too, and we love the extended litverse.
Yeah. So we may make some references as things that have been written about in the books, but of course they don't have to even follow those, but. Yes. But yeah, right. Cardassians.
But they better have Castellan Garrick.
Garrick as, yeah, hopefully, as the leader. That would be cool. So cool. but Chrissy, anything else on Chain of Command?
Yeah, I like what you brought up about Chain of Command, because that last part where he has actually gone and sought out a medical professional, someone who is skilled in dealing with someone who has had problems, and mental illness isn't the right word that I'm looking for, but for people who need help with mental issues.
Yeah.
And that's something we didn't see him really deal with after Best of Both Worlds. I mean, yes, he does go home to Labar and he gets into the mud fight with his brother, and then everything's okay for the most part until we get to First Contact and all of that. I think it was very important that they put that in to show that even someone who is portrayed as so powerful and in control of himself as Picard does still need help with those things. And I would like to think that there were people out there that saw that and applied it to their own life, because people need to do that.
Definitely. Yeah. All right. So let's go into my second pick. So, you know, again, with the theme of things that kind of have echoes across other episodes and, you know, have importance in the Star Trek universe. I actually thought of the episode Sins of the Father with Picard standing as Worf's Chadich in the Klingon mm-hmm. High Council, mm-hmm. because that is kind of the start of Picard kind of doing something to show the Klingons that he respects their culture, that he's a strong person. And I think that you see that continue over into Reunion in the next season, where Kempek's choosing him to be the arbiter of succession, the person who can kind of go through this process of helping to decide who's going to be the next leader of the Klingon Empire. And in that process, he ends up, I mean, it kind of, maybe with this process, it would have always gone with Gowron, but maybe it would have gone with Duras, which would have been pretty disastrous for the Empire. So he's doing these things that are important to the fate of the Klingon Empire. And he's also, I think, getting respect from the different Klingons that we see. I mean, not only from Worf, but people in the Empire. And I think it's quite an interesting thing to see. And they do kind of continue this a little bit. I think it's interesting in the travel guide that Dayton Ward did to the Klingon Empire. They have like a statue to Picard, like on the homeworld. But I mean, that I think that's just an example of something that was made up for that book. But I think they do have a lot of respect, and it puts Picard in a really interesting position to influence the fate of an entire empire. So what do you guys think about that? Mm-hmm.
I love seeing Picard interacting with the Klingons, you know, like this is a guy who's got some pretty extreme respect for like different cultures and, you know, the way that they do things in their own cultures, their own, heritage and traditions and things like that. And that's one of the things that I love about him. You know, one of the things that I think about with him is the way that he interacts with Worf and Riker when Worf wants to kill himself. And then the way that Sisko gets upset when Worf wants to kill his brother, you know, and it's like those are the complete opposite takes on basically the same situation, you know. And I don't necessarily think that Sisko was right in his choice, right? I mean, like, you got to respect some people's decisions and their cultures and whatnot. And I don't know, but that's a discussion for a Deep Space Nine podcast, I guess. But,
yeah. You know. Okay. Chrissy, what do you think about Picard's interactions with the Klingons and having this influence?
Oh, yes. That is one of the great Picard moments, that time that he spends helping Worf with that and then kind of helping the Klingon Empire toward the correct decision, shall we say. And I think that's very indicative of his diplomatic abilities as well, which we can't talk about Picard without talking Picard the diplomat, because that is such an important part of him and also of everything that he does.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. I really like the variety of stuff that we're coming at this from different perspectives. Okay. So let's go on to our third picks. So Chrissy, your third pick.
All right. My third pick is probably one of my all-time favorite Picard moments. It is when Picard tells the story of Gilgamesh to the Temerian captain. Mm-hmm, nice. And this is one of my favorites because I show it every semester in my classes when I talk about Gilgamesh, which you can imagine a bunch of college students really appreciate that, but they watch it anyway.
What is this?
yeah. I say, all right. It's usually the first week of class too, so they don't know me yet. So it's a good introduction to who I am. Picard's knowledge of human mythology and literature and history helped him to understand what the Temerian language really was, that it was allusions to things in their mythology and their literature and their history. And this moment on the show really shows one of the most important points that I try to put across in my classes, is that you have to know your own society's and culture's history in order to understand other societies, or excuse me, other individuals' cultures and history. Okay. And history is very important in that way. And it's one example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's definitely an example where Picard is the person that could understand what's going on and break through without anybody else's assistance. I'm trying to think of someone else in Star Trek that would, especially someone who's a, you know, main character on a show that would be able to kind of break through in that way. And I love Darmok. I think it's a really great episode. It's really about kind of coming to an understanding and bridging gulfs between cultures, even when it seems impossible, because we're told in the episode, like, yeah, we've had interactions with these people and they just kind of shrug and go away because they don't even know what they're saying. So I think it is really important. And I think it also speaks to the importance that Picard puts on diplomacy and understanding other cultures. And I also love how, kind of in a related vein, Picard is always willing to be like, wait, maybe this is a new life form. Maybe this isn't something that we should be so quick to judge or to kill or whatever. Yeah. I think it speaks a lot to his character. Yeah. I think it's a great choice.
Yeah. And this is one of the most important episodes of Star Trek, because again, miscommunication can lead to disaster.
Yeah.
But sitting down and taking the time to talk to people and trying to figure out their meaning is important to preventing conflict. You know, and that's what Picard does in this episode. You know, he is the ultimate diplomat, and he's a better diplomat than I'll ever be, right? But he can sit there and he can hammer out a language with this completely, basically to us, completely incoherent language and still figure out a way to make it work. You know, like we can overcome these obstacles at any time, you know, so.
Yeah, I agree. And that is one of the things that I like the best about Star Trek, when you can kind of figure out a way to communicate and understand, which leads to a resolution of the conflict instead of just always leading to lots of conflict. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon, your third pick.
Awesome. Okay, so Chrissy kind of tangentially mentioned my number one pick here, but to me, this is another extremely important moment for Picard as on a whole, because while I think that the Inner Light is probably the most important episode for Picard, there is a close second. And that's, you know, what happened with him with becoming Locutus in the Borg. But for me, more than that, it's when he gets in the fight with his brother in the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And he just breaks down and starts crying because he's been trying to hold it in and he's been trying to maintain this strong face. And, you know, again, to me, like, this is a tease for that episode. You know, where does Picard go after this major event?
Mm-hmm.
He goes to his family. He doesn't have the best relationship with his brother, yet he still goes to his family in dealing with this trauma that's occurred to him, this manipulation and this body rape that's happened to him. You know, and I love the scene when him and his brother are fighting and he just breaks down and cries and he's like expressing to his brother what he's been held up inside of him, expressing to his brother all the pain that he experienced being helpless and watching it all happen. And it's important for him because it's beginning the healing process, because he hasn't really had the healing process. Yes, I realize this is immediately after. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we get to see the healing process of this captain and this man. And I love it. And I think it's great. And it's, while that's a great trilogy and I love the best of both worlds, that scene is really the peak of the trilogy for me.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Chrissy?
Oh, I agree that people tend to go, oh, watch Best of Both Worlds. And, you know, that's the best episode of Next Gen, but it really is not complete without family. It's almost like watching.
No, it's not.
It's almost like watching Wrath of Khan and Search for Spock and then not watching Voyage Home. And then, well, wait, how did they get home? You know, how do you get back to where you were?
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the best analogy since Voyage Home is kind of funny, but you get the idea.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm so glad that they did that, because I think it could have been quite possible, like, okay, we've gone through this thing and, you know, on to the next episode. But they did choose to really reflect on that. And I mean, there are different parts of family. It's, of course, not just about Picard, but I think definitely the most powerful part is about that breakdown that he has, where you're seeing Picard at his most vulnerable, where he's kind of dropped any like mask or anything that has to do with command or, you know, what he might usually show for his family. And you're seeing kind of into his soul and what is really troubling him and really bothering him. And it's just so amazing that he's gone through that. I mean, I think that also it would be the kind of thing that's not going to just go away. And that's why one of the reasons why I love First Contact, because you get to see that there is still something there all those years later. It's not like you can just, you know, go through something, admit your truth, and then just kind of move on. It could haunt you for a really long time. But yeah, it's such a great scene, and it was definitely on my list. I was waiting to see if one of you guys really like brought it up, but, yeah. It's fantastic, and it does tell you a lot, and I mean, it could lead in some ways into the new series, because it seems like he's gone through some new trauma that he has to deal with, so.
Yeah, and I mean, like, so what I'm picturing happening, right, is in this new one, he's gone back to his vineyard because, you know, he really does love his sister-in-law, and I mean, like, because they got the same actor to play Rene as young Picard, I mean, that's, to me, that's, you play your own ancestor. It's clear that Rene is Picard's child, love child with his sister-in-law.
Oh, God.
Right? And
this is taking a weird turn.
Oh, I was not following that. That was beautiful. You just set that up.
So it's the same kid in Relics as it is
yes.
in... As it is in family.
No, you mean Rascals, not Relics.
Or Rascals, yeah. Sorry. Not Relics, Rascals, sorry.
Wow, okay, that took an interesting turn. But great pick anyway.
Yeah. Makes his reaction in Generations something else.
Because only his brother and Renee died in the fire, so he's gone back and he's fallen in love with his sister-in-law and they've had a family.
No. I refuse to believe that. No. Moving on to my third pick.
Yeah.
So, you know, the third pick was really difficult. In fact, I haven't really picked it yet because, you know, I picked the first two, and then sometimes what I do for these kind of top three moments when I'm on Earl Grey is I'll kind of reserve ones that might be more well known for the last pick and pick ones that people might not be as likely to pick for the first two. So I have kind of a list of five or six that I have to pick
one.
Here right now.
Just one.
That's okay. My 20 honorable mentions will cover the rest. No, I won't really have 20. But yeah, so here's what I'm going to pick because I'm leaving off a couple that I think are also quite important, but it has to be Defending Data in the Measure of a Man.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love that episode so much. And I mean, I think it's important in Data's life, of course, but I think it's important in Picard's life as well, because there's kind of something that happens where Picard has to face, you know, how he might be thinking about Data and whether this is really a sentient being or not. And I think in the deleted scenes that you get on the extended version on the Blu-ray, it goes more into this, but basically, It's Picard having to, I mean, we see him a lot. He's using, you know, his history knowledge and archaeology and diplomacy and, you know, and he's an explorer and he can, you know, command in battle and all that stuff. But I think what you really see in The Measure of a Man is his ability really for a different type of persuasion. So it's not the persuasion of diplomacy, but this is part of like a legal proceeding that will have profound importance, not only for Data, but for anyone that's like him going all the way into the future. And I just love how he struggles with it and he finds a way to make a case and for Data to be kind of recognized as an equal sentient being. I mean, I think that you don't necessarily see as much some of the profound ramifications that must happen because of that for Data and for anyone that might be like him in the future. But I just love that. And for me, it's always hard to say what's the best episode of The Next Generation, but The Measure of a Man is right up there.
Conspiracy.
I know you believe it's conspiracy, but for me, The Measure of a Man is right up there because I think that one of the things I love the most about Next Generation is when they talk about, you know, is this a life form or is this sentient? What rights should someone have? And this is like the quintessential episode for that. So I love that. And I love what Picard does to have this profound impact. So
Measure of a Man is definitely one of the best episodes of the series. And it is an absolute gem that people overlook because they overlook season one and two.
Yeah. Which they should not. There's some great stuff in seasons one and two.
Some amazing stuff in the first two seasons.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like the Royale when Data's playing dice, like, come on. Yes. But yeah, Measure of a Man is really good. And, you know, I love seeing him and interacting with Guinan. I hope we get Guinan in this show. Like, oh my goodness, I would love to see Whoopi Goldberg come back as Guinan. Like, how amazing would that be? You know?
Yeah.
But, the Measure of a Man is an important episode for the story of Data, and I love how Picard has to defend him in the trial. It's very, very, very interesting and very well done. I love this episode a lot.
Okay. Chrissy? Yeah.
Oh, just you brought up the scene with Guinan, and I always think of that when he suddenly realizes that what you're talking about is slavery. And it still raises the hair on my arm. So good.
That scene is so amazing. And I think it's kind of crazy that scene almost didn't happen. But I think they had to fill in a little space, and it just so happened Whoopi Goldberg was available. So they kind of quickly wrote something, but it's kind of the crux of the episode in a way. Like what you're talking about is really controlling a whole race of beings. This is not just about Data. This is about so much more than that. And it almost didn't happen. So yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So I wanted to make sure out of my list to pick that because I think it's one of the ones that people think about a lot that we hadn't quite gotten to yet.
Yeah. It's so tough to narrow down a list of three.
Oh, it is.
There are many.
Because I'm sure when this comes out, we'll get 25 different choices, which is great. Please send your choices, but we'll probably get like lots and lots of different choices and we'll be like, that's great. That's great. That's fantastic. I mean, it just tells you how rich of a character that he is. But, all right. So we've gone through our three choices, but we have some honorable mentions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to say, though, for the listeners, yes, please send it in because, you know, this discussion here, the end is only the beginning.
That's right. Tagline from the teaser trailer, which is all we know at this point, people. So we're going to keep referencing it. All right. So let's talk about honorable mentions. So, Chrissy, what's your first honorable mention?
First honorable mention, keeping with the historical theme, is
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Yeah, well, the involvement that he has with negotiating between the Federation and the Cardassians and the tribespeople on Dorvan 5, and his understanding of what the removal of indigenous peoples throughout history has done, and what kind of damage it's done. And, you know, in the end, we know because of the Maquis, it doesn't quite work out the way they'd hoped, but he does do his best to make that as judicious an experience. That's not the right word, but, he tries to negotiate it to the best of everyone's, needs.
Well, I think what you're getting at is he's thinking about justice in this case, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So Journey's End, what do you think, Brandon?
Yeah, Journey's End is good. So is Justice. Justice is
good. Yeah. It's not the worst.
I mean, once you've gone to that planet, the Justice planet, like that's all you think of, right? With those outfits, right? So
not until now.
I think Journey's End is an underrated episode, you know, because people don't seem to like the Traveler. People don't seem to like Wesley and how he is in this episode. And I don't know, to me, this is a perfect coda for Wesley's story. And it's a perfect setup for what we get in the Maquis. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a very, very good episode. And I love how it finishes the Wesley Crusher arc. And I don't know why people don't like it. I think it's a great ending, you know, because it's set up with the Traveler in Where No One's Gone Before, that this boy is special.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I don't know. It's just, it's a perfect end. It was, and I don't care if it was planned or not. I like it. And I think it's a great ending. Yeah. And, you know, what Picard does to try and negotiate the peace and how he clearly does not want to be there. He clearly thinks that the Federation is in the wrong with what they've done. And he's like, he's doing it anyways. He's following his orders, you know, which is what he does need to do in the position that he's in, but he does not want to be doing it.
Yeah. I have some complicated feelings about Journey's End. I do like it. And I like it because I like Wesley. I like how this arc ends. I like the Traveler whenever we see him. But, and it's great in this episode to see something that you don't as often see, which is like a Native American society. But I don't know. There's just something about it where I wish they had done it a little bit differently for the Traveler's intervention because you're led to believe it's, you know, this Native American spiritual guy and really it's the Traveler. But Anyway, it's just maybe a small thing, but I do think it's a great choice. And for Picard in particular, like, you do see his sense of justice. Like, well, yeah, the treaty says this, and yeah, the Admiral wants me to do this, but it's not right. You know, and you see that in different times in Picard's character, where he's like, I'm not just going to blindly follow an order just because it's an order, it's part of a treaty. I'm going to think about what I think is right. And I admire that a lot about him. And you do see that in Journey's End, where he's really struggling with it. He's like, are we going to do this again? Are we going to keep removing people against their will? So, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Brandon, your first honorable mention?
I'm going to mention both of mine. I just have two honorable mentions, okay. But one of them is just a quick one, just because I like it. I don't really have too much to go on it. But in Tapestry, you know, we get that back history for Picard as a youth. And I don't know. I just love the idea of him laughing as he got stabbed through the heart. You know, I don't know. I really love the idea of that. I don't think there's much to, you know, pick apart with that. I just think it's a really interesting character trait.
Okay, so you like young Picard being stabbed. All right.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, right through the heart. Yes. No, I like the laugh. I just think that's really cool.
So. Oh, it is very interesting, the choice. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this my other pick that I couldn't leave off the table because the trilogy is so important is actually the epilogue part 4 to the Borg trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Sisko confronts him in Emissary.
Oh, and sneaking in. Oh, right. I didn't even think of a Picard choice in DS9. Dang. Yeah.
So when Sisko tells him, we met in battle at Wolf 359, and you can just see Picard's face drop. Mm-hmm. And he just, in that instance, he is so caught off guard. He is so unprepared for that discussion at that time. And he has to take a second to process what he just heard. And you can tell that he is completely off guard for the rest of that particular conversation. And, you know, like, so you can see how the ramifications of that continue on, you know, even years past what's happened and family and the best of both worlds. So I wanted to put the epilogue / part 4 to the Borg arc.
I mean, wow. I didn't even enter my mind. I didn't even think about Picard's appearance in Emissary. Just bravo. Yeah. I have a few thoughts. But what do you think about those two, Chrissy?
Oh, both good. Emissary. Yeah, the Tapestry one is wonderful, that laugh. And no, I hadn't thought of that moment with Sisko either, but it is an important one. And one that you would imagine he probably has experienced a number of times. Maybe not in that way.
I don't know. I mean, because Sisko is like, he's such a raw nerve there that I don't know if anyone else had the audacity to say it that way.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Maybe people on the other end of it are experiencing that. They meet him and they go, oh, you know, my captain was killed because of what you did, or my wife or my husband or my child. But it's in their head.
And here's the interesting thing about that scene in Emissary. I have heard from some people that it can put them off a little bit because they love Picard and they feel like Sisko's being like rude and challenging Picard. But I love Picard, but I love that scene also because it kind of challenges your expectations. You expect like, hey, here's Picard. He's this legendary figure. And, you know, surely Sisko will be, you know, kind and courteous, but Sisko is just thinking like, I don't care that you were taken over by some other entity. I feel like in some way you are responsible for my wife's death and I can't like hide that. And I just love that it kind of challenges your expectations about that. And it's like, ooh, and you're right, Brandon, that Picard in that moment is like, oh my God, it's the consequences of that are coming home to me. And what can I possibly say to this person? I did have some part in it, you know? So it's like, it totally knocks him off guard. But it also tells you Deep Space Nine is going to be a very different show. And I think that sets
Yeah, it's a brave way to start the show.
Absolutely.
Like it's a very brave way to start the show. You're having your main character tell off this important main character of this, you know, important franchise
show. Who's still in a series that's still going at that point.
Still going at that time. Like, that is a very brave choice. Incredibly. But I think it's the right choice.
Yes.
Like, that's a very brave choice and a right choice. But I just love Patrick Stewart's such an amazing actor. Like, we're going to be probably saying that once or twice or a million times over the next few weeks here as we talk about the new show. But, you know, just as I said, just you could see his face fall, and he is just caught off guard and is unprepared. And, you know, he's off guard for the remainder of that conversation. Patrick Stewart Absolutely. Pulls it off just brilliantly.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Completely. Wow. All right. So, Chrissy, do you have a second honorable mention?
My other honorable mention was something that we don't actually ever see on screen, but it does prompt everything we have seen.
Oh. The Picard Pulaski shipping.
As fun as that is, I can't remember if it is in Gambit or in The Chase, but he talks about how he had to make a decision whether to stay at Starfleet Academy or go on a big dig with Dr. Galen.
Oh, that's The Chase.
Okay. Yeah. And he decides to stay in Starfleet. And had he not done that, I don't know, we're looking at Captain Riker or something.
Had he not done that, Jennifer Sisko would still be alive.
Probably.
Sure. And we wouldn't have got that great scene in Emissary, so it has to happen. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. That was a critical thing. He was totally into archaeology, but he wanted to get into Starfleet instead. And maybe he talks about it a little bit, but I don't think we as much get the reasoning. Maybe it's more in the autobiography, but yeah, it could have been Picard the archaeologist. And it could have been Picard the archaeologist who had found this link and was coming aboard the ship instead of Professor Galen to talk to Captain Riker about it, you know? Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think it does illustrate something that is of real importance. Like, there are these decisions and things that you do all of the time that sometimes you don't know the ramifications, the huge ramifications that it'll have. And you'll look back and you'll be like, wow, if I had made that other choice, my life would be completely different right now. So no less for Picard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, that's great. So you had just two, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm done.
We asked you guys to have two, and you had two. I have more. Well, we'll see what we get to.
Well, I mean, I can go back to my original list where I had a notebook page with 50 things on it. But
yeah, I mean, I could go over the 20 other things, but I mean, there's a couple of things that I think have to be mentioned here. One of them that has to be mentioned is Picard joining the poker game in All Good Things.
Yes.
is such a great moment where, I mean, of course, I mean, it's a lot of people's favorite moments. It's just such a perfect way to end the series. Like, I should have done this a long time ago. You were always welcome. I mean, and just kind of seeing him really finally, it's happened kind of by stages, but finally at the end of the series, that he kind of feels comfortable enough where he's been through experiences so that, like, well, why shouldn't I just drop all of that and just, you know, be friendly with the crew and attend these poker games and all of that? So that's one I had to put in there. Another one that I have to put in here is the way that he confronts Admiral Satie in the drumhead. That is such a great moment where he is kind of opposed to this witch hunt that's happening on the ship. And I mean, it goes into, you know, standing up for justice and all of that, but I mean, I think it's just important to see how often he's in that situation where he's like, no, the right thing is this, and I'm going to put everything on the line for it. All right. And let me put in one other one here, which is actually the end of Nemesis. So the reason that I'm putting that in there, I know Nemesis isn't highly regarded. I don't think it's that bad, but I like that, you know, it's the last time that we've seen Picard up to when we see him in the new series. But at the end of that, it's like, he's been through all of these things over the 7 seasons and all of the movies. He's been through all these traumatic experiences. He had to deal with Shinzon in the movie, Data dying and all of that. But at the very end of the movie, the way that you see him is that I think there's this scene with, you know, B4 in his ready room, and there is that kind of touching moment where he's singing and Picard is kind of completing some of the phrases, but he exits down the corridor kind of ready to face the future. After everything that he's been through, he's going there kind of with a little smile on his face, ready to face the future for the next mission. And I think it's just kind of the perfect way to close that chapter, and we're beginning a new chapter. So I had to kind of put that in there as an honorable mention.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any thoughts on any of the ones that I just breezed through?
Well, the All Good Thing ones, absolutely. The one at Nemesis, sure. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You're like, that's a moment. No, I do like it. And maybe I didn't appreciate it the first time, but I've appreciated it more, especially as we look forward to this new series. Like, he was just kind of ready to, in some ways, begin anew and just kind of see what's out there. So, anyway.
Let's see what's out there.
Yeah. Although, the deleted scene from Nemesis with the ending is even more hopeful and even better than that. But that was something else. All right, so we've gone through lots of important moments. Again, listeners, we definitely highly encourage you to send us your moments, things we didn't mention, or other thoughts you have about ones that we mentioned. We think that there's so many great moments that we've seen for Picard, and that we're going to have a lot of great moments in the new series. So let's go around with some final thoughts, and also feel free to put in there what the discussion we've had today might tell us about what we might see in the Picard series. So, Chrissy, you want to go first?
Okay, yeah. Final thoughts. I think the wide range of choices that we all made, very few of which were the super obvious ones, you know, which I like, just means that Picard is a very rich character, and he is very well portrayed by the very talented Sir Patrick Stewart. And I think that just means we're in for some wonderfulness in this show. I am so looking forward to it. I did want to say that in thinking more about the teaser that we've seen, just to connect it to what we're going to be talking about, all of that vineyard imagery goes back to what we were talking about with family. I almost mentioned earlier, Brandon, did you see the notes that I was making for this ahead of time, talking about how he goes home after he's had this drastic experience, even though this one we don't know what it is. So, you know, he's gone back to the vineyard to reset himself and and refigure out what he's going to be doing with the rest of his life. So,
and yeah, he's gone back home to get real drunk on some good wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real stuff, not synthahol.
Yeah.
I'm sure the series will just start with Picard, you know, drunk on wine by himself at the vineyard.
Singing Frère Jacques.
To himself. No, that would be sad. I really doubt that.
Singing Frère Jacques really and holding a picture of Nella Dern.
Oh my God. That's your fanfic right
I don't know
there.
If that's the right song for that, but okay.
Yeah. All right. So, Brandon, your final thoughts?
Yes, I am so looking forward to this new show. I mean, like, we are so excited. We're freaking recording this on May 27th. Like, you know, just so everybody knows, like, we don't even know anything. We've seen the trailer and that's it. We don't know nothing. Right. And we're very excited. You know, I was there at Vegas when Picard came out. If you get the videos where somebody yells out, holy bleep, that's me. Right. When Patrick Stewart comes out on stage, and, you know, I was there with Alex Perry and, Jim Morehouse, and we were bawling like babies when he came out on stage to announce this. And yeah, I don't know the episode of the Earl Grey episode number. But when we talked about it in that room, like, I just couldn't control myself. I was just so overwhelmed with emotion. I don't know why, because Next Generation's not my favorite Star Trek. I love it. You know, and it's really was what got me into Star Trek. And that, I mean, you know, people seem to get upset if something that they like is not your favorite as well. Like, I love Next Generation. It's just, it's not my favorite, but that doesn't mean I don't like it. I love it. There's so many great episodes of Next Generation, you know, but it just some weird sense of validity happened when Patrick Stewart came out on stage for this, to announce this. It was like, it was so important. It's probably the most important moment in my Star Trek fandom was to be there to see that. And, it, you know, me going to that convention was like a last minute thing. You know, like, I'm so grateful that I got to go to that and I got to see that him coming out and saying it, like, wow, I could not, I'll never forget that moment in my life as long as I live. It was truly moving and it was truly special. And, you know, I'm looking forward to a show. I hope there's a lot of discussion. Honestly, I want a show that's a lot of talk. You know, like the television shows that I watch are like a lot of talk and a lot of dialogue. You know, I'm watching Deadwood right now again. Like, we're leading up to, we're just a couple days, we got the movie coming out on HBO, and I'm rewatching Deadwood for the fourth time. And, you know, like, there's so much wonderful dialogue and discussion and people just sitting there talking to each other. You know, Hannibal is a great show. Mm-hmm. right? And yeah, they got a serial killer of the week, but that's not even the interesting aspect of the show. It's when Will Graham and Hannibal Lecter are sitting down and talking to each other. That's what's captivating. And as I get older, I like seeing well-written dialogue, and I love wonderful scenes of people talking to each other. And I really hope to see that in this new show. And I think that Picard is the perfect vehicle to have a show like that. So that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping to see. And yeah.
Well, listeners, if you want to go back and listen, that is Earl Grey 239, where we talked about, I was there too, along with a bunch of Trek FM hosts, talking about the announcement the day it happened. It was amazingly exciting to be there. It was crazy to see such an eruption of applause and tears and all that. But, yeah, I think that, you know, it is interesting to talk about all of these moments and to kind of go off of what you're saying, Brandon, about discussions and talking and all of that. I think that is more of what we'll get. They've already said that the tone of this show will be different than Discovery. And I love Discovery, but it'll be interesting to get something different. And Picard is the perfect one for that, because I think pretty much for all of the moments that we chose, it is about, well, maybe not all, but for a lot of the moments, it is about discussion and talking and working things out. You know, whether it's with an alien species or defending data, or, you know, it's historical interest, or, I mean, a lot of these things, they are really kind of contemplative moments. And there are some where he's, you know, under stress and all of that. But I think the things we tended to focus on were those moments. And that is one of the things that I love about the Next Generation. You know, I think it really has such a great concentration of those kinds of moments, and Picard is very thoughtful and contemplative, and that's what I appreciate and like a lot. So I'm just so excited at you know, what the future brings with this show, and it's great in this episode to kind of reflect back on what we've seen of Picard before and how it might inform things, to kind of take a step back before we take a step forward. Yeah, also it's because we don't have much to talk about yet, but but it is great to reflect on those things. So
no, I can't talk about the script that I read. Yeah. I mean, I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, it's been so much fun talking about our picks for the most important Picard moments, where he talks a lot, and other ones. But that isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on the network. Here's what you might have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Ready Room.
Tilly got a good launch. She had her subplot with May, which was the mycelial creation. Yeah. And she didn't come back. I just now realized that. Well, she went away with
She didn't come back because they fell into the trap of using her as comic relief, which they do way too much.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
It's very similar to Sarek, you know, first wife, get a divorce, whatever, and then start a new family. That those siblings, and especially with that age gap, is not going to, you know, really remember or consider it a family.
Mm. See, that's it. Amy just ruined canon on this show.
Primitive Culture, a look at history and culture through Star Trek.
Even that song, the way they sing it, I find it hilarious. You know, Terry Farrell clearly can't really be bothered to sing the song. She's like almost speaking it. Avery Brooks, meanwhile, just absolutely goes for it and sings it. Not only does he sing it, but he sings it in this
That's
very kind
of Hello, Marine. Hello, Marine. One, two, three.
Bizarre. I mean, like, I know he, like, when he does his singing later on in DS9, yeah. he has quite a high voice, given what a big kind of booming guy he is and so on. But he doesn't just sing the song, yeah. He kind of commits to, I'm doing a silly nursery rhyme dance.
He does commit,
thing.
Yeah.
The 602 Club.
Yeah, like that scene on the plane was so meaningful to me, dealing with that, because it's like Happy is just providing the equipment and saying go, and letting Peter fiddle with it to create himself a new suit. But you see that the way that he's working with the computer, it's, you know, that computer screen that's projected into the air like Tony uses, and he's like grabbing things and moving them and zooming in and out and making, like, you know, mannerisms and calculations like Tony always did when he was working on something with Jarvis. and you see Happy look at him and smile like a father looking at his son.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, please be sure to hit the subscribe button at Apple Podcasts on iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or on the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. Please leave us a star rating and a written review. That helps others find the show. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Windows Phone, and most third-party apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website, or grab the RSS link as well.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and select the line. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter on at Trek.fm, and you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. Justin, where can people find you when you're not defending the rights of androids?
Man, if I could do that every day, but he just had to do that once and then it was applicable for all time, so maybe I don't have to spend as much time doing it. But, well, when I'm not doing that, you can find me elsewhere on the network, co-hosting Earl Grey. That's our dedicated Next Generation podcast. You can find me on Twitter at TrekFan4747, where I tweet about nothing but Star Trek. Lots of Star Trek Picard stuff and lots of other Star Trek stuff. And you can find me hanging around the Babel Conference on Facebook. So, Chrissy, where can people contact you when you're not thinking of the discussion about history and archaeology that you'll have with Patrick Stewart when you meet him?
Oh, that would be so wonderful. And my mother would be so jealous. I'm in the Babel Conference, of course, and I'm really looking forward to seeing people's comments when this gets posted, and I'll get into all the fun of talking with you guys about that, because this is one of those topics that can probably be never-ending. So I'm there, and you can also follow me on Twitter at TheGoddessLivia. That's TheGoddessLivia, where I tweet about Star Trek and history and some random political stuff. You are warned.
You got to tell me, what does the goddess Livia mean?
It is a reference to the wife of the first Roman Emperor, Augustus. Her name was Livia Augusta, and she was deified by her grandson, Claudius. Ooh. So she was made a goddess.
It's pretty interesting how they did that back then. They would just, you know, people would die and they'd be like, you're deified now.
Yeah. If you read Robert Graves' I, Claudius, she asked, and of course that's a fictional account, but he presents it that she had done so many terrible things to put her husband in a position of power that she asked her grandson, Claudius, to deify her so that she wouldn't go to hell.
Wow.
Which would not have happened because the Romans didn't have that idea. But and Brandon, where can people contact you when you're not advocating for a Pulaski Picard ship?
You know what? I don't know, because that's the first time I've actually ever done that. I just like invented that. We were messaging back and forth today, and I said, I'm going to just totally promote a Pulaski Picard ship.
P/P.
PP going on. That sounds a little bit weird.
Oh, dear.
Those listening this far may regret
this far. No father. They just shut it off. Yes. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Brandon Metella, where I tweet lots about Star Trek, but I tweet a lot about other stuff right now. If you go back in time to my May 27th feed, there's a few Chernobyl retweets because HBO Chernobyl is amazing. And if you haven't seen it, go back in time and watch it because it's awesome. Go find it because it's.
They're going to have to scroll back, like, depending on when this episode comes, maybe months.
You could search things. That's what hashtags are for.
That's
what hashtags are for. People should use for spoilers. You should use your hashtags. Don't forget.
I do.
So, yes, you can find me there. You can find me. I got a lot going on, and we're recording this so far in advance. I'll tell you what podcasts I have going on right now. Zach from Standard Orbit, he and I have a show called Franchise Fatigue on the United Federation of Podcast Network, and that is all about movie franchises. And as of this recording, we are covering our Toy Story series. We've covered Godfather, Pet Sematary, and Mission Impossible already. And coming up is Jaws and Terminator and the Man with No Name series. So that'll be some of the movies that we cover. Mm. We cover all the movies in a series. You can find me on the podcast Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, which is all about Alfred Hitchcock movies. My friends Chris and Tom and I, we go over the films one at a time in chronological order. And I'm on Warp 5 with my friend Patrick. Every other week we have a discussion on Star Trek Enterprise here on the network. And still got a lot of treks, as far as I know, pumping out an episode once a month, talking about the music of Star Trek here on the network. And every once in a while, I sleep.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff that you're doing. I mean, man, and now I'm on a second podcast and I'm like, whew, this is a lot, but you've got like six.
Yeah, quit complaining.
Okay.
They're not weekly. Like Good Evening's once a month. Oh, Melodic Treks is once a month.
I understand that, but when you have to do it, you still have to put some work into it.
Yes. Anyways, and yes, and then we're doing this. I mean, we're doing the line. So just so the listeners know as well, if you're still listening. So we're planning on doing a couple lead-up episodes up to the premiere, and then we're going to cover an episode a week, and we'll probably do a wrap-up episode or two, but we won't be running like every other week after that. We're just running while the show's running and whatnot. So it's just a limited run of episodes because, you know, Picard is Earl Grey, and with a 10-episode season, there's not going to be a whole heck of a lot to discuss beyond that. I don't think, anyways, but we'll see. I mean,
we'll see.
So that's the tentative plan.
Always
anyways.
Change if need be.
Excellent. Okay, so what do we got next? What's our next line we got to say? I just kept blabbing and blabbing there.
It's for you for the Patreon.
Me? Okay, if you'd like to help keep us all blah, blah, blah. If you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. Simply visit patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and more, available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money and alcohol to produce this show, to host and distribute it.
It does not require alcohol, please. I want that to be clear.
To distribute these shows each month, we really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
Yeah, and if you're listening this far, tell other people to listen further. We try to have a lot of fun. Maybe I'll introduce in here the thing that we do on Earl Grey with the bonus question during this part. We'll see what you guys think.
I don't know. Patrick and I just try and go, like, on our last episode of Warp 5 that dropped, we, like, had this whole conversation on Spaceballs for, like, I was, like, so mad at him that he hadn't watched Spaceballs yet. And then he's, like, trying to watch it. And then he's, like, yells at his wife. He's, like, Brandon's mad at me for not watching Spaceballs. And you can hear his wife on the mic. She's, like, you haven't seen Spaceballs? It's just like, anyways.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Well, you know, crazy stuff can happen. So please listen this far. And join us next time for another episode of The Line.
There are four lights.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Wow. You know, I usually say things are only impossible until they're not here, but I'll say Brandon singing in this part was impossible until it just happened.